It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
There's so many extremes about God's will and my part and daily obedience. From God told me everything to everything depends on me. And this is a book about the combination. My life, Christ in me, and living in combination, which means I still decide. It's about endurance and deciding. Life is not always fun. There are hard hills to climb. Take shorter steps, one at a time. That's the only way you can live life. We're not competing with each other, no. We're just doing what's right and following Christ. That's the race set before us. Follow Jesus, follow the race he defined. I think
right,
the book is important
voice.
Because
I'm going to interrupt
so
because that's Newt Larson. And if you haven't heard of Newt, you're going to hear about him today because he's just written a great book called, well, he's just reissued a great book he wrote called The Great Human Race, How to Endure in the Marathon of Life, Thoughts from a Fellow Struggler. Let me tell you a little bit about Newt. My husband and I got to hear Newt preach in upstate New York a few years ago, and not only did we love his teaching, he taught us the book of Titus, as I recall, that little short book. I've never heard anyone get so much out of the book. But we also got to know him personally and had a lot of fun and just loved hearing about his life and his perspective. And the details of that is that Newt was a pastor for 43 years. He was pastor of the chapel in Akron and Grace Church in Ashland. He lives now on the sand dunes of Lake Michigan in a beautiful setting. And the fun thing about Newt, with his wife Janine, by the way, a wife of 47 years, near his two married daughters. But the fun thing about Newt, and probably what laid the groundwork, I'm guessing, for writing this book, is that he is a runner. I mean, a very serious runner. So he joins us today from his, I'm guessing, his cozy bungalow near Lake Michigan. Newt, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Sandy, and thanks for all you do.
Well, my pleasure back. And let me just start with this. I already hinted at it, but one of the fun things about you, Newt, is that you really are a runner. I mean, you're a runner. Can you kind of describe how serious you are about that?
Yeah, but I want to back up a little. I know runners, and I'm a jogger now, sometimes a slogger. We hike the dunes more than running right now and ride our bike. I coach pastors, and I start that at 11 in the morning. So every morning we either bike or jog or hike the dunes.
Well, when you were running, what kind of running were you doing?
Oh, just 10K races a few times, a little longer. But it was a great way to meet people, especially in Akron, where we pastored 26 years, and we sponsored a race every Labor Day called Labor of Love. It was to benefit pregnancy services. So I always enjoyed it. I ran when I was in first grade. Our dad got us up, and we drank wheat germ and then ran.
Really? Nobody did that then. Seriously, did your neighbors think you were crazy?
He was a fanatic.
He was what?
It was just on a dirt road behind our house in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But so running or staying in shape has always been a thing we tried to do, yeah.
Yeah, but Newt, I have to ask you, because I know that running wasn't, except for the handful of usually guys that went out for track and field that many years ago, nobody was running like that. Wasn't that kind of unusual for you and your father?
He was a phys ed director at the YMCA, and we truly, literally drank wheat germ and water and ran. I tried to keep it up, and, you know, it's just been a part of me, maybe too much at times, loving sports. But I'm careful.
Yes, I know that you are. And I have to ask you a bunch of fun questions here. I bet I've asked you this before, but here we go again. Your name is so unusual, and it's not like Newt Gingrich. It's K-N-U-T-E Larson. So what is the origin of your name, and does it have any special meaning?
Yeah, and Gingrich ruined it because people sometimes spell it with an N. Newt Rockne, K-N-U-T-E, was the great coach at Notre Dame, died at a horribly early age in a plane wreck. But I was named after him. My dad, if he were alive, would still be calling me Rock. Newt Rockne was a great motivating coach at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame still quotes him. He won 100 games there and died in his 30s. So, I was named after him. I made the football team, but I didn't do much for them. But I love my name, and it's spelled with a K.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool name, very distinctive. Now, you already said that you grew up, I think you said, Pennsylvania.
Correct, and went to school in Indiana, Grace College Seminary, met my wife 57 years there, and always pastored two churches in Ohio, and now in Michigan here I coach churches and try to still stay in shape.
Yeah, you just speed dialed your bio too fast for me, because I'm going to go back in time. I want to know what kind of a kid you were, because you're kind of mischievous as an adult man. So I want to know, what kind of a kid were you, Newt?
Well, I was rather perfect. I have an older brother who was a year older. My mother said we fought just two times in growing up, one from age 7 to 12 and one from 13 to 17. Probably a bit true. He's a scholar and very good at studies. I worked at sports and tried to study some. We grew up in a tragic atmosphere in the sense of our sister, age 14, dying in a horse accident. And even before that, our parents, who were strong Christians at first, divorced and didn't stay with Christ in a good way because of that. In those days, Sandy, the church waved goodbye if you divorced, and they did too. So we were raised spiritually by our grandmother, who was the most devout Christian I've ever met, other than Mother Teresa.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to know, Newt, because as I don't need to tell you, every generation, our own children, have to have their own encounter with Christ. You can be raised in a perfect home, and that's just not enough. I was certainly intentional about that with my own son. I knew that just because I was serious about my faith didn't mean that he was, and I wanted him to know that he had to come to a decision point himself. So I'm guessing you had polar pulls on you, a sort of a disappointment in God, and seeing your parents' marriage fail and the heartbreak and seeing them kind of distance themselves, and then your grandmother who was steadfast. So where did you come to the point where you said, I still believe?
Well, you know, as a child, I did that simply, and I believe justification happens the moment you do that. You put your faith in the cross, especially in the person of the cross and his resurrection. So I'm sure I did that, kneeling with my grandmother, Mamaw, beside my bunk bed, and at a very early age. I'm sure I struggled and grew in a normal way. When my parents divorced and then my sister's death, I got angry at God and grappled with that as a teenager for a long time. But, you know, as late as yesterday, a church asked me about speaking coming up, and I said, can I do four Sundays in a row on pain? I'm surprised sometimes how much that stays with me. My mother died of cancer in her mid-40s. But I think all of our life stories are centered around events as well as development. I did stay with Christ, and at age 18, committed to heading for ministry. And when my mother died so young, I still grappled with why and grabbed hold of verses that don't explain, but they say, trust me. And I still do. I do.
Boy, I hear you with that, Newt. I think that God has to bring each of us to that place, and that's not preached very often. But it is really in spite of circumstances, I trust you. Not because you did this miracle, not because you, saved me from this or that, and I'm not talking about sin now. Physical signs, but in spite of what I'm experiencing in this life, I still trust you because I know that you are God regardless, and that's what you're saying. So let me go back to something frivolous again. When you were a kid, when did you first realize you had the gift for communication, that you could talk to people and they listened?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I ever did, or I still do. I always worked hard at it. I was captain of the patrols and president of the student body, but I was always timid up front and bashful, but I think that always wanted to communicate, and I did work hard at extra stuff and illustrations and reaching into people's eyes a little bit when you speak. I preach every Sunday now almost, and I still work hard to say, is this really going to get across? I sat through so many boring sermons. You have too, and I've given plenty of them, but I think the hard work is still there, is always there. I'm not sure. I think in a few years I may get more confidence.
Well, I think in a few years you have the right to have more confidence. All right, you said you decided to go into the ministry, but why? I mean, that's a totally different decision. So why that?
You know, I mentioned Mother Teresa for fun, but my grandmother crossed the tracks in Harrisburg for other races and cultures and finances to bring Bible classes three times a week and took us every time. She did it before anybody wrote a book about sojourners or that we should cross racial lines. And I just saw mercy. She had a fourth grade education, but really, really loved Christ and people, and she got that into us. She really did. So I wanted to do that, to lead a church to do that. I love writing, and I got a job as an editor, but I kept being pulled to the church and to pastoring. I'm so glad I did.
Now, you said you spent 41 years in Ohio as a pastor and a well-known pastor, Newt, because I heard your name many, many years before I ever met you. But again, the senior pastor at the chapel in Akron and then Grace Church in Ashland, not necessarily in that order. But did you enjoy being a pastor?
Oh, very much. I coach problems sometimes now, and I often say, this is silly what you're doing. Church for me was wonderful, a couple hard times indeed in 43 years. But I coach two honeymoon churches, Grace Church in Ashland, Ohio, and then the chapel for 26 years. I just am so appreciative. And I love the church because it holds something eternal and the trust of the gospel, but it also can show his love and stand for him. So, I love church.
Well, you're right, you love church, but then I'm curious. I know you have a great perspective on this, Newt, or understanding. And here's the question, but you're going to have to answer it on the other side of the break because I hear the music. I would really be interested to know why you think so many pastors are struggling. I understand that at least a third of new pastors wash out now. They just don't stay with it. Pastoring has been described as, like, from others, as kind of a nightmare job. So I want to know what's going on with that from your perspective. And then we're going to get into your book, which is called The Great Human Race, How to Endure the Marathon of Life, Thoughts from a Fellow Struggler by Newt Larson, our guest today. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood? And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son."
That's the great voice of Max McLean reading to us Hebrews 12, 1 through 6, which kind of lays it out, the race of this life, and that is the title, at least in part, of Newt Larson's new book, The Great Human Race, How to Endure in the Marathon of Life, Thoughts from a Fellow Struggler. And I have to say on a practical note, because those of you who listen to me all the time know I do news and politics every day, and it's a grind for all of us, because this world is in upheaval in so many different ways. And so we not only think about our personal sin, which is what Paul was talking about in that passage, if Paul wrote Hebrews, he was talking about in that passage in Hebrews, but it's also just the struggle to endure and be honor God in our choices and in the things that we do and taking our responsibilities, all of it. It is not easy. And I would say also one minor thing before we go back to Newt here. When I was a younger mother and had a very seriously ill daughter, I ran for years myself as a jogger, only a jogger. But I can't tell you how many times I did that. I quoted that verse in my mind as I was running. I was trying to finish. I will finish the race. I will run for the goal set before me. I would just pray that over and over again, that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. And it was so beautifully enriching in my own life and meaningful to understand that serving God requires endurance. And that's a lot about what Newt talks about in this book. Newt, I'm guessing that because you ran for so many years, that these metaphors that Paul uses, like in Hebrews, meant a great deal to you, applying your running to your life. So,
oh, my.
Yeah, that's kind of a big question for this kind of a book, isn't it?
And for sure. And you allude to dropouts in church, pastors and others, and endurance is something people love short sprints or to look good for a while, or the health and wealth gospel is all about happiness. But endurance is a big part of Jesus and Paul and every Christian, and we need to talk candidly about it. The verses on running are so important for all of us.
You know what? I don't think that I've ever, I don't know, but I can't in my memory remember a pastor preaching on endurance. And it was a quality that I had to, because of the care of my little broken daughter for 20 years and plus, her sicknesses and her illnesses and just the heartbreak of it. It was a long race. And endurance is the word that came up in my mind all the time. And I finally discovered that verse about how Jesus Christ endured the cross. He endured, and I thought, it just occurred to me, Newt, that he does want us to have endurance, but who wants it? Because the only way you can get endurance is by enduring. Talk to us about enduring.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the word literally means remain under. It doesn't mean get out from under. And Jesus remained under in going to the cross. Endurance always means long suffering, and it's fine to pray that the problem would be taken away. You did, but it doesn't always go. And Christians are so good at cliches like, well, here's the reason, or we'll know in 2 weeks. We will not. We don't know sometimes, but we trust God and we trust Christ. And that's why he says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Yeah, you've done that well. A lot of people have. We all have to work at it.
What do you think in your life, as you look back, as a pastor and as a husband and father and all the other the situation in your home life, is there some particular situation that caused you to have to rise up for that, to endure, that really kind of taught you this lesson in a profound way?
Well, I would think of yesterday. I think the giant crises of life for me, they were divorce and death and death. My parents, my sister, and my mother. But the little things, and then the way I brag about two churches where I was often is simply to thank God, but also to say both of them had wonderful ministries for people who grieve, the grieve ministry, but also divorce recovery ministry. And because when you go through something or see your parents or others go through it, you want to, as a pastor at least, want to provide ministries for them instead of saying, you know, cheer up, things could be worse, or some light thing. Christian cliches are trash sometimes. You endure, you get back to the Lord, some days you grind it out, other days you giggle, but you got to keep going. And that's a hobby horse.
Let me ask you, let me go back to the question I asked you before the break, and that was, you do minister to young pastors now, and you minister to pastors in general, and you were a pastor for such a long time, and I mentioned that so many pastors are just not making it. They're just not making it. And the percentages of young pastors not making it are so high. And I would love to know what you think is going on there. Is it the culture? Is it that it's so much harder to be a pastor now? What is your diagnosis for that?
I do think it's harder. It's not, you watch culture more than I do, and you know things have changed so much. It's hard to believe this is the same culture or country, but and therefore church is not so serious to many people. I don't think I can say in a word why they drop out. Sometimes they're not ready for the calling. It's a good job instead of a calling to love people and to shepherd. But many times, I'm old and I leave town, so I look at church boards and say, why are you doing this? Why do you treat each other like this? I mean, there's wonderful church boards too, but there's power plays and there's people that don't want church. They just want to be in charge of something, and there's all kinds of reasons. But the love of Christ and the issue of obedience is always the answer. It really is.
Well, let's talk about your book, Newt. And what I'd like to do is kind of give people an idea of your writing style just for a second, because this is your opening. You open up with what you call the warm-up. And, of course, anybody that runs or works out or does any kind of sport knows that you have to stretch and warm up. And so this is what you write. All of us are running. At issue is not with whom we compete, but what course we take and how we finish. It is the race of life, the great human race. This book is about the willpower to run well and how that relates to the strength of God in our lives, strength for the daily run. In a day of religious pluralism that says everyone is right, no matter what she or he believes, we must decide if there is indeed a right way, a best way to live. Who says? In a time of fear of terrorism or pain of war that has us all looking over our shoulders, we must find the courage to run one step at a time toward the right finish. Who empowers? In an age of way too many quitters in this walk run of life, we must gain the muscle of spirit to go on with a hope that is true. Where is help? Some runners look to runners. They'll look like runners. They appear as if they were carved from a sleek model of a Boston Marathon champion. They jog or run, it seems, to the watcher, almost effortlessly. But for me, it is mostly agony. My build may have been for basketball, though I lack unusual height. Or maybe for center field, where I tried my days in Little League and later college basketball. Perhaps checkers is what I was built for. But anyway, I must jog and exercise and try to get or stay in shape. Build or no build, ease or no ease, the alarm is off, the day has begun, here we go. So that's just the warm-up to Newt's book. One of the things that I pick up from that is kind of the same thing we're talking about, Newt. You say strength for the daily run. It's I think one of the secrets of endurance, I know you've written it, is it's daily. It really is one step at a time, isn't it?
It really is. And what I use a story in the book. It's my favorite running story because I was nothing was coming that day. It was just a 6-mile run, but I shouldn't say just. That was effort for me. But an old man passed me with a squeegee bottle of honey in one hand and water in the other. I'm not exaggerating. And then a woman started to pass me, and the next guy that came, I said, "It's all yours." And I'll never forget. He said to me, "No, come on, run with me. We're going up a big hill." And he said, "Lean over, take shorter steps." And I did. I leaned over and I took shorter steps. And we ran the rest of the race together. I actually turned to him and said, "Tell me I can do it." He said, "You can do it." And I said, "You're just saying that." And we had fun with it, but we made it to the end. And I often think of that. Endurance means taking shorter steps. Do what's right today, one step at a time. I think the song says, "Sweet Jesus." And lean over. Don't be a big deal. Christians should lean over. Don't be a big deal. It's all by grace. It's all by Christ's work. And just go a step at a time. Some days it's gorgeous. Some days it's raining. You keep going. And that's the theme of the book. And it's not, there's nothing secret in it. There's no hocus pocus. There's no magic wand. It's loving and trusting Jesus Christ and obeying him and living in combination with him.
So, Newt, you wrote this a long time ago, and this is a reissue of the book with study notes and also like questions so that it can be used for a study group. And we'll get to that in a second, but what I really want to ask you is, when you reread your own words after writing them 30 years ago, how do you see it differently? How do you see them differently?
Yeah, I would say we did update it and took out some old names and some old dates and put in some new stuff that way. But as far as the truth, honest, Sandy, honest engine, I would say the same thing. I think because of divorce of my parents and seeing fundamentalism that pretended instead of lived real life at times, I think the message I got loud and clear is still the right message. I really believe that. So we didn't change major truths. I like the term combination, that it's Christ in you and you live. But I think some people pretend it's all Christ and you don't have to decide anymore. God told me this, or I just ask God which car I should buy and he tells me. Okay, but for most of us, it's a struggle to do what's right, and then even when it doesn't go right, we should be so pleased that we did the right thing and obeyed him, and that's the theme of the book.
You know, let me put a little flesh on my question for you a little bit more, because I think I know you're going to have a great answer for this. I listen now, not hardly ever, but occasionally. Recently, I had a reason to pull out one of my old albums and listen to it. I certainly don't do that very often. And I listened to the words that I had recorded back in the mid-80s and late 80s. And honestly, Newt, my perspective was like one song I did that was pretty well known at the time was called "He Is Able." And God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes, gladly. Then will I glory in my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's one thing I said at the end of the song. And the thing that struck me after all these years, because I was in the throes of taking care of my daughter then and a lot of heartache that I could not express publicly, was, oh my word, it was so true. I believed it then, but now looking back on time, it was so true. It's true. That's how it struck me, the things I said and did in the past in ministry. And that's why I thought, you know, at this point in your life, how it strikes you differently.
You say it exactly right. A few years ago when Job was alive, that would be thousands of years, you got all this advice, or you got things like, the parallel day would be, well, we'll know in 2 weeks why your baby died, or someday we'll know, or somebody came to Christ at the funeral, so that's why she died. That's human talk. When Job got all this advice from his three friends and his wife, and then he started coming up with theories why it happened to him, the suffering that he faced, God takes him out on a meadow or probably a beach of Lake Michigan, and he shows him the stars, and for three chapters he lectures him and says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I made the horse that runs so well with its flowing mane? And he goes through all this stuff, and his point is, Job, if I can do all that, and if I can lay the foundations of the earth and make this globe, you can trust me. And Job falls on his face and he says, I have come up with theories too wonderful for me. I worship. And sometimes that's all I can do.
I love that. I can trust. My guest is Newt Larson. Yeah. The book is called The Great Human Race. We are not finished. We're not finished, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
The beautiful voice of Max McLeod and that beautiful passage in 2 Timothy, the words of the Apostle Paul. I have finished the race. I've run the course. And of course, you know, Paul is the quintessential example, besides Jesus, of endurance in the New Testament. Our guest is Newt Larson, and his book is called The Great Human Race, How to Endure in the Marathon of Life, Thoughts from a Fellow Struggler. And if you just tuned in, we're glad you did, because we have a few more things we want to just share with you about what it means to endure. And by the way, this is published by Broadman Holman, I think, BMH Books. And you can get this book by going to bmhbooks.com, B as in boy, mhbooks.com. And I want to say a word about that. We often go to Amazon, don't we, all of us? And I'm trying to wean off a little bit, and so I'm suggesting you might want to do that too, for all the reasons we talk about. And they're actually doing away with some conservative books right now. We don't know what the future holds for any kind of information regarding Christian faith or values and morals in general. So you might want to start exercising your muscles and doing something else. So bmhbooks.com is a great resource for this book, The Great Human Race. Newt Larson, again, is my guest. And Newt, I think one of the reasons, I'm guessing, that people don't endure is because they feel like they failed and they just feel kind of hopeless or like failures. I do think that's a serious problem. And I'd love to know, I know you talk about this in a different way, but what do you think about that and how can that be dealt with?
There's a great story about Mike Singletary. He's not a runner. I'm sure he could run if he wanted to, but he's a great linebacker for years, now a coach. And one time, a long time ago, most memorable to me, a football game, Jim Nance, a name many people know, was interviewing him after the game and said, sometimes you get clobbered over on the right, or they blocked him with two guards or two linemen, and then you get up and make the tackle over there. How do you do that? And he said, very nonchalantly, I get up. And I think I say that to myself a lot. I get up. We all fail, and some failures are giant, and some are public, and some are private, but we all fail. Get up, you know, and you keep running. I think everybody loves the John passage 21, I think it is, where Jesus says to Peter three times, do you love me? Probably three times because he denied him three times, and he gets up, and he serves so well. Yeah, you get up. You keep running, and you get up. And God's grace is so good.
You know, I think after one of big failures of my life, I had been a Christian for years, but I think that I did not understand grace. And when I experienced grace, oh my goodness, my faith just grew exponentially when I really understood my true relationship to God was not based. I would not have said it was based on my performance. I wouldn't have said that because I understood doctrinally that was not true, but I think I lived that way. And when I failed and God had to give me tremendous grace, I fell in love with him so much more deeply. And I think maybe the problem is just sometimes the lack of understanding about God's love for us and his great mercy and grace.
Oh, man, that's a good way to say it. I think some people don't understand that when Jesus died on the cross, every one of my failures and sins was being paid for. I mean, I still hear, you do too, that, well, I guess I'm paying for my sins. That's baloney. The payment for sins is death and separation from God, and Jesus took it for us. But more than that, you know this, Sandy, he credits us, God credits us with the righteousness of Christ. It covers us. That's grace. He sees us as he sees Christ, and now I need to live that way and get up when I fail and ask his grace for daily strength. But, yeah, legalism kills people. You burn out. You get bitter. You give up, you know. I grew up under some legalism that made you discouraged. I can't be so good, but grace rightly understood makes you obey better, helps you obey better because, you know, it's love and he still loves you. Get up. Keep going.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the lessons that I had to learn also, Newt, I'm guessing most of us that have served him faithfully for so many years had to learn this, that the sins that you struggle with, that you continue to fail, you know, you can't seem to get over, you can't conquer it, you can't get it past. I do think there's a point where you do, I think you do have victory if you stay at it, but that's another issue. But when you're in the throes of it, I think the tendency is to just give up because you feel like you fail so often. And I learned a long time ago, every time I fail, to confess it right there, not stop confessing because I can't tell myself, oh, he's heard it before and I'm just such a failure and that is not the point. It's constant confession and constant fresh starts. That's what energized me. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. And I think the running analogy is a good one. People ought to read this book, may I say so, whether they ever jog or run or not, because they're in the Bible and they're all verses in the Bible. But whatever way you say it, it means keep going. And he runs with us in a proper way, we can say that. Not that you hear his voice all the time, our Lord, but you know he understands. You know he forgives you. You know he helps you get up. And in combination with Christ, we choose. That's a big hobby horse in the book. Yes, you still choose. Don't blame anybody else. We all make our own choices. So I hope people will read this book and say, I can do it. And with Christ, I can do it, and I'm going to keep going.
Let me just say you have some great words of wisdom, but you also have some great stories in here. And then at the end now, you have questions for discussion. So What did you have in mind? Like, if this would work the way you think you'd like for it to work, what would it look like?
It would look like a family reading a chapter together and then discussing the questions. It would look like a small group in the home or in the church, a Sunday group, reading the book, but then reading the verses. And then these questions are so, they're not like, where did Jesus go when he left Capernaum? He went to Nazareth. That'll change your life. No, they're like, when you read that verse, what do you think it will make it impossible? Or when do you feel like a failure? When do you feel like God doesn't love you? And how does this verse get you back to that? So I call them real questions about real life and not factual. They get to your heart. I hope so. I hope a small group will use it, or a family, as well as individuals. Yeah.
Hey, let me just say again that you can get this. I'm going to repeat this. Put this on our Facebook page. You can get the book, The Great Human Race, by going to B as in boy, BMH Books. B as a boy, M as in mom, H as in him. BMHbooks.com. And we'll put that on our Facebook page. Newt, it just occurs to me, and you've had so much experience now, I really would wonder what the answer to this is. The question is, could a person not say to you, look, it's just not part of my character to stay with things. Oh, you know, he's into this, he's into that. He stops and he starts, he stops and he starts. It's just part of his nature. He got that from his dad. What would you say to that?
Stop it. Remember, somewhere you got to get over. A part of our nature is to lust. Part of our nature is to be selfish. Part of our nature is to say mine, my first four-letter word. Somewhere you got to say, God, help me. I think we'll always grapple with the same selfishness, but you can stop it. I can stop it. I can do better. I can trust Christ. I can confess this and get up. And I do think that's part of the chapter, is how do you keep going? And my favorite picture in the book, by the way, is probably the end race, a story about Bill Broadhurst. Bill Rogers was a famous runner who came to Akron every year, and I showed him this story, and he said, yep, that's the way it happened. Broadhurst was crippled, had an aneurysm, so he could barely run, partially crippled. He made it to the end of the race, and at the end of the race that he was running in, he didn't know Broadhurst. He didn't know Bill Rogers. Bill Rogers heard the story and came out and welcomed this last runner home. He waited around, and he hugged him, and he took the gold off his neck and gave it to Broadhurst, who had run with a crippled left side, and he said, you get the gold, you're the winner. And every one of us will be welcomed by our Lord Christ, and we make it to the end. Sometimes we feel a bit crippled, but we make it with his help. I love that story.
I do, too. That's a wonderful story. And I was just reading, in each of these chapters, you have great verses. And this one is on chapter 12, and it's 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Note, as you get at this point in life, looking back, it is possible to have victory over some of the things you struggle with, don't you think? I mean, God never stops working on us, and there's always sin. But I find there's more peace. I find that my relationship with him is not as rocky, in the sense that I don't struggle with as many things as I did when I was young. Am I just, like, out of touch? I'm worse. I mean, seriously, isn't it possible to enjoy the rich fruits of faithful service? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about in your relationship with him. Your thoughts about that?
Oh, sure. Sure. I think a good marriage works that way. A good friendship does, too, but also with Christ. And I don't think we ever get over the mine, M-I-N-E. That's mine. We still do. But we decide it isn't as important to win. It isn't important always to be right. It's more, my sermon this Sunday I'm studying is about love, and love because they asked me to do it. And love is essentially bearing with others and bearing with yourself and forgiving, and then saying it's really important that I love Christ. It's really important that I love people and build bridges and cross lines. It's really, love is the greatest thing. And speaking of running, at the end of his great chapter on love, Paul says, run after love all your life. I need to.
Yeah, yes. Well, I want to, this is a very personal question too. As you approach, we're closer to the end of our life than we are to the beginning, that's for sure. We don't know how many years we have left. Only 30 seconds here, Newt. As you think about finishing well, what does that mean for you?
It means being faithful to Christ and to my obligations in life, which would include wife and family. It means doing something a little bit each day to build a bridge to another race or another person and to show love and to forgive. It means trying to finish well, so I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, I can do that. You can do that. We can all do that.
Yeah. All right. The website is PastorNewtLarson.com, PastorNewtLarson.com. The book is The Great Human Race. And again, you can get it at BMHBooks.com. Newt Larson, it's so nice to talk to you. God bless you. And if I don't see you on this side of heaven, I'll see you there for sure, because I plan to finish well, too. All right, thanks so much. Sure. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.